Butch was a fighter pilot in World War II. He was assigned to a squadron out in the middle of the Pacific, and sure enough, they gave him a mission along with his whole squad, and they took off in formation, leaving the aircraft carrier behind. Partway into the mission, Butch glanced down at his fuel gauge, and someone had forgotten to top off his fuel. He knew he did not have fuel to get to the target where they were supposed to attack and get back to the aircraft fleet as was planned. So he radioed his commander, and the commander said, "Get back to the fleet now." When he flew out of formation, headed back to the aircraft and the fleet behind him, all of a sudden, he ran to a whole squadron of Japanese planes intent on attacking that whole Air Force fleet. Well, Butch just flew right into them. I mean, he shot every bullet he had. And when he ran out of ammunition, he started diving in around there and trying to nip tails or wings, whatever it is, to kind of cripple them. As a result of his antics, the Japanese squadron flew out of the way and didn't attack. Eventually, Butch limped back to the aircraft carrier. Back in those days, they had cameras many times attached to these planes, and they would study the film afterwards to learn how to do their job a little bit better. When they saw what Butch had done, they were astonished. And they rewarded him with the highest military honor the United States had to offer with him. In fact, some of you maybe have had an opportunity to fly into Chicago's O'Hare Airport. That was named after Butch O'Hare. Now, before the war, there was a man by the name of Easy Eddie who worked in Chicago. In fact, he was an attorney, and he was Al Capone's attorney, the famous gangster. And through his skills and legal maneuvering, he was able to keep Al Capone out of jail. And consequently, he was rewarded quite handsomely by Capone with money and houses and education, you name it. He had it because Al Capone rewarded him. But Easy Eddie's conscience began to bother him. How could he really represent a gangster like Al Capone? He was concerned about the influence he would have on his own children. So he went to the federal investigators and said, "I will lay out everything so you have a case against Al Capone." He did that with great risk because he knew the consequences. And sure enough, he followed through with it. And within 1 year, Easy Eddie was found dead on a back street in Chicago. Easy Eddie was Butch O'Hare's father. That's the impact a father can have on his children. And that's why this morning I want to speak about how to be an upbeat dad. Now, we hear a lot about deadbeat dads, but we want to invite you to turn to Psalm 78. We're going to look at the first 8 verses or so. We're going to look at some concepts on how to be an upbeat dad. Now, we're taking a little bit of a break from the book of Philippians. Lighten up. We'll come back to that next week. But on this Father's Day Sunday, we want to spend some time in the Old Testament Psalm 78. Now, this was written by a man by the name of Asaph. And Asaph was very, very concerned about how fathers can communicate to their children, and then those children communicate to their children, and so far, and have a generational impact. In fact, as we read through these first 8 verses, we find that 4 times children is used. 3 times the word father or forefathers is used, and 2 times we find the concept next generation. And what we find is that fathers have a responsibility of teaching and communicating and impacting the lives of their children in a godly, spiritual way. Let's read through these verses in Psalm 78 and follow along with me as I do. "Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. In some circles in our country, fathers get a bad rap. In fact, fathers are blamed for many of the consequences that we are seeing. So they did some surveys and research and so forth and came out with these numbers a number of years ago about fatherless homes. Fatherless homes have 85% of children with behavioral disorders, 85% of youth in prison, 80% of rapists motivated by displaced anger, 90% of homeless and runaway youth, 63% of youth suicides, 71% of high school dropouts all come from fatherless homes. Now, by way of contrast, the homes where fathers are there, they have a much higher, in fact, twice the likelihood of the children getting A's. Daughters who are twice as likely to have children as teenagers, twice as likely to divorce if they marry, and 2.5 times more likely to be single parents. A federal study found that sexually abused girls, 17% were assaulted by stepfathers, but only 2.3% by the biological father. What the statistics are telling us is dads are important. We have an impact, and it's critical that we understand that role that we play. And God's plan is that dads communicate God's truth to their children so those children can communicate it to their children and continue the generational impacts. Now, I've often taught in my church situations that the first and foremost responsibility to communicate godly truth, biblical truth, is by the home. Now, we as church people come along and reinforce those concepts. And as a dad, I always appreciated others coming along and helping me reinforce what I was trying to teach my own kids at home. Now, keep in mind, many times children and youth come to our church, have no spiritual background, do not have moms and dads who love the Lord. So the church becomes a very significant spiritual family for them. Meanwhile, I just want to say thank you to so many in the Elam family who have served in nursery and children's ministry and youth ministry. Those are such vital ministries in our church. But this morning, I'm going to be focusing on dads, first and foremost, on making an impact. And I'm going to challenge you with 3 actions based on Psalm 78. Now, moving back to that psalm in verses 6 and 7, Asaph writes, "So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. It would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands." So we as dads are communicate the truth of who God is and how we can trust Him as our personal Savior. And the first action I'm going to challenge dads this morning is to tell your children how you came to faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure they know your story. And we've been doing this throughout our sermon series in the book of Philippians, and I'm just kind of reinforcing that because that story is so powerful. When I was just a little guy, before I even went to school, my sister got a two-wheel bicycle. I had the trike. And so she was riding along and so forth out in front of our house when another older girl comes right along on her two-wheel bike. And, of course, the girls do. They start talking and become friends and so forth. Well, that older girl's dad stopped by our home to meet my dad, mom, or family, and so forth. Eventually, he invited my dad to some meetings in Portland. You see, he was a pastor attempting to plant a church. So he invited my dad to some evangelistic meetings. After the meetings, he drove dad back to where we live. We live in the suburbs of Portland. And sitting in the car in our driveway, he led my dad to faith in Christ. I was too young to even know about that. But at that moment, my whole life changed. Dad started going to church. He took my mom. About a month later, mom came to faith in Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, big church had hard chairs and they talked way above my head. So we as children were scuttled off to junior church. And there the teacher shared the story how my sin could be placed on Jesus. And she invited me and our class to trust in Jesus as our Savior. And as a five-year-old boy, I remember very distinctly doing that. That is my salvation story. And that needs to be communicated. Your story needs to be told to your children. I'm challenging you in that whole process. Now, some of you say, well, it's been removed, but maybe you can record it. We've been challenging you to do that, or at least on phone, or maybe write it out. But somehow, communicate it. Tell your children how you came to faith in Jesus. We come back to Psalm 78, this time to verses 3 and 4. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. So what Asaph is teaching dads is that we need to communicate God's work in our lives. So the second challenge that I have for dads this morning is to tell your children an experience you've had with God. You see, once we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are born again, but then as we continue to live, we have a journey with God. And He works in our lives in many different ways. What I'm challenging you to do is to tell a story of how God has worked in your heart. Maybe how He's protected you, or maybe a story of how He's provided for you, or maybe He has prompted you to do this or not to do that, or whatever it is. But share that experience with your children as being a dad. Between my first and second year in Bible school, I was up in Canada. I stayed at the school and worked on a construction crew. One of the buildings we were working on ran across a steam tunnel. Now, the school was heated by a whole network of steam tunnels that ran all over the campus. They had built this building, and one part of it ran across one of these steam tunnels. So before they poured the floor and so forth, they shored it all up, poured the cement, and then the time I came in and started working them, they said, Steve, you get on there and tear out all those forms. It was dark, it was dusty, it was dirty, I had a drop light, I could hardly see and everything else, and I was pulling all these forms out and so forth. Well, mid-morning, they called us out, and in Canada, you don't have coffee breaks, you have tea time. So we were sitting around, and we were sitting there drinking our tea and so forth, and one of the men came up from behind me and says, were you just down in those tunnels? And I said, well, yeah, I just came out. You can tell I was filthy and dirty. He says, the whole tunnel system caved in right where you were. The building wasn't caved in, but along the sides of the building were not shored up properly. I went down later to look at it. If I had been there during that cave-in, I wouldn't be sitting in front of you right now. God protected my life. That's a story that we can share with our children. You have your stories of your experience with God, and the challenge is share it with your children. Let them know how God has worked in your life. So what I'm challenging you to do is tell your faith story, tell an experience you had with God. And now we come back to Psalm 78, and Asaph says in the last verse of that paragraph, verse 8, they would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, whose heart were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. He's talking about how Israel was rebellious against God. In similar ways, we too have had our infractions. We are flawed individuals. We make wrong choices. We do wrong things. And there's a place where we need to share that in a positive way with our children. Now, we dads are great in pointing out all of our children's mistakes. We're experts at it. What I'm suggesting is you share some of your mistakes and say, you know, kids, I didn't do it right. I want you to learn from my mistake. So action number three I'm challenging you with is tell your children a mistake you have made. Julian Lennon was the oldest son of John Lennon, the Beatle. Unfortunately, John Lennon left Julian's mother when he was only 5 years old and took up with Yoko Ono and so forth. And Julian had very little exposure to his father, even though he was world famous. And it used to really bother him how his dad was touted as a person of peace and love, but he never experienced it from his own dad. Now they reconnected a little bit older when he was an adult as such. Now contrast that with Evander Holyfield, the former heavyweight boxer, who had numerous children with four different women. He would sit his kids down and say, listen, your daddy has made mistakes, but you don't have to make the same mistakes because you're in a better situation and you have me to tell you this. Do you see the difference? All of us dads have erred. And there's a place of sharing those mistakes in a proper way. And sometimes when we fail to do that, our children repeat our own mistakes. One of our children had a problem in the evenings and would dissolve in tears and was very emotional and so forth. And I erred as a dad by not giving time to let them vent their emotions, express themselves. I just figured they were tired and need to go to bed. If I could go back, I would redo those errors. And I know it caused this child pain. Sometimes my children would tell me when we were into healthy discussions, Dad, you don't know what it's like to be a pastor's kid. And I had to admit, I had no clue. But they were harassed, they were put down, they were mocked, all because of my profession as a pastor. And sometimes I wish I had a better grasp on that. And sometimes I just had to give them grace for what they experienced. Now, I tried to point out the blessings of being a pastor's child, but they experienced it a little bit differently than I saw it. Back in 2013, then President Barack Obama was giving a speech to the graduating seniors of Morehouse College, which is a traditional historical black college. He said the following, I sure wish I had a father who was not only present, but involved. And so my whole life I've tried to be for Michelle and my girls what my father was not for my mom and me. I want to break that cycle where a father is not at home, where a father is not helping to raise that son or daughter. And I think our president put his finger on a key issue, not only in the African-American community, but as a whole, that sometimes we dads just pull back, and that's a tragedy. And what I am challenging you today on this Father's Day is three things. Number one, share with your children how you came to faith in Christ. Number two, tell your children an experience you've had with God that is your own. And thirdly, share a mistake or mistakes, plural, with your children that you have made and you don't want them to make. Why don't we have a time of prayer? Father, we come before you and understand that in homes, fathers, sometimes there's a great deal of pain. And we as dads haven't done things right. And we've hurt and we've wounded our children deeply. We pray for a restoration of those relationships. Lord, we want to say thank you for the free gift of salvation that our Heavenly Father can forgive us through faith in Jesus. And I pray that every person here in me would make that faith decision, and that every father would have a chance to see his children come to faith as well. And Lord, I just pray for our dads. It's tough. I want to encourage them. And many times it's difficult and challenging. And Lord, you are working in our lives through our children, but we're also trying to work in our children's life and influence them for you. And Lord, we pray that our children would come to faith and grow in that faith. And we pray that they would share their faith with the next generation who could share their faith with that generation. We pray that we could follow that through, as Asaph says in Psalm 78. Lord, we pray also for our nation. It's going through tough, tough times. We pray there would be a turning back to our Heavenly Father whom we have walked away, and we would follow His commands in His truth that you have given to us. We pray that you would heal our nation from this COVID-19. We pray those numbers would come down. We pray for the families who have lost loved ones and are taking care of sick ones. We pray that you continue to keep us healthy as much as possible. And Lord, we come before you once again on behalf of Elam Church family, that in time to come, you provide just the right pastor for this community. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we have a series of testimonies by some children about their dads here at Elam.
Okay, so our dad taught us to be kind, loyal, not to procrastinate, to save all our work before it gets deleted.
All your work.
True.
He taught us both to have a servant's heart, to be kind to people, and always put others before yourself.
1, 2, 3. Happy Father's Day!
He has taught me how to make coffee. He has taught me how to use tools like a saw. And He taught us how to love others and love them as much as ourselves. He's taught me about Jesus and the Bible, and He's taught me about God and what the Israelites did. He told me about temptation. He's told me about how to vacuum. He loves me and I love him.
Our dad is the best because he always is working hard for us and he always is teaching us new things every day.
He loves us, and he always wants to have fun with us.
And he always puts us first. Love you, Dad. Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you so much, sons and daughters. We appreciate you sharing those stories about your dad. We wish we could show something about every single dad here.